Federal Reserve says Americans owe more than $1 trillion in student debt. And that's not all. Data compiled by WalletHub finds Georgia leads most states with its rate of student debt. Now, listen to this. In Georgia, you can actually lose your job if you fall behind on your student loan payments, because defaulting can mean seizure of a state-issued professional license. For more on this, we turn to New York Times financial reporter Stacey Cowley. Morning, Stacey.
Hi there.
And Deborah Curry is here. She is a nurse in McDonough, Georgia. Her nursing license was seized in 2015 after she had problems paying her student loans. Deborah, good morning.
Good morning.
And Stacey, let me start with you. In how many states, including Georgia, can you actually have your state-issued professional license seized for defaulting? Is it just defaulting, or is it defaulting or falling behind on your student loan debt?
Generally, it's you have to fall significantly behind. So in many states, default is the trigger. And right now, it's 18 states where you can lose a license because of this.
You know, it used to be that, Stacey, that banks made these loans, right? And they were guaranteed by the federal government. Are states and the federal government both the guarantors of these loans now?
Yes, and that's why the states are the ones taking this action. Up through 2010, the banks made the loans, but the federal government insured them, and the federal government then turned to the states to reinsure its insurance. So if a student in that state defaulted, it was generally the state's taxpayers who were going to be on the hook for at least a portion of it. That's why the states started getting really serious and going after it with these sort of punitive tools to try to collect on these debts.
Yeah, you're right, really serious. We'll get to that in just a moment, and Deborah's story can help us get there. So, Deborah, you fell behind on your student loans essentially once you left the workforce to raise your children. Is that correct?
Right. I actually went to medical school and in the process had a total of 6 children.
Right.
I decided I wanted to be home and raise my kids instead of letting the daycare raise them.
Right.
And so then it was difficult to pay, you know, $170,000 worth of loans, because that's about what I had.
How much?
$170,000.
$170,000?
Yes, but I was paying back loans. I mean, you know, $1,700 a month at the time that I was notified by the Department of Justice in Georgia that I had defaulted in a loan.
Mm-hmm.
So they sent me a certified letter in February of 2015 saying that, you know, I was behind or defaulted in a loan, gave me a chance to make arrangements.
And you did.
And I did. And my arrangements was like $50 a month. So it wasn't no problem. I could pay that.
Right.
I did everything I was supposed to do. I talked to them. I faxed everything over. I called them back just to verify that they got the facts and everything, because in the letter said that if I don't do what I need to do, that they would suspend my license.
But you got a second letter.
Then I got a second letter after I had done everything, and they even informed me that they had it.
And the letter says, accordingly, this is to advise you that your license was suspended on April 1st, 2015. April 1st, really?
April Fool's Day. Yeah. You know, it wasn't a joke, though.
And it was not a joke.
Yeah.
And you may not practice as a registered professional nurse. What do you do then?
Well, then, you know, I had so many mixed feelings. I didn't know what to do. It's like, you know, my livelihood is taken here. And it's like, you know, if I cannot work, then I certainly cannot, you know, pay any student loans.
But I don't understand. You made an arrangement and you were making good on the arrangement.
Right.
And yet your license was suspended.
Yeah, and so all I can do is call the people that I made the arrangements with and get somebody on the phone. It was very difficult to do that, and I got them on the phone, and needless to say, I was very irate because this is a serious issue. And, you know, it was like, hey, we talked. I did all this. You told me that you had it. And then I get this certified letter, and they was like, well, let me call you back.
Right.
And, you know, they called back another day and told me, oh, yes, you know, essentially, my bad. We did get it.
Right.
And, you know, somebody didn't pay attention. It was on their desk all the time.
Okay, so, Deborah, you're back to work. Are you back to work now?
Yes, I'm back to work.
Are you current on your student loan?
Yes.
How much do you still owe?
I still owe about $130,000.
All right, that's a whole other question I'm going to try to get to in a bit. So, Stacey, today, look, if If you were unable to keep current with your student debt, the country, right? The country's financial system punishes you pretty harshly. You get a horrible credit score, a garnishment of wages. So I'm wondering, what's the reasoning behind states essentially piling on, it feels, and stripping licenses? It seems counterproductive.
The reasoning is it's an effective tool. Louisiana had a case where they notified about 80 nurses that their licenses were going to be taken away, and all but three of them got current on their debts. Wow. So the reason for this is that it can motivate people when nothing else does. The catch of it is if you're one of those people who really, really can't pay, you know, taking away your only way of earning a paycheck and making any hope of making payments is really generally not seen as the best way to go about this. That's why some states have taken away these laws in recent years. We've seen four of them at least strike down these laws and take them off their books.
Okay, if you're just joining us, we're talking about student loan debt with Stacey Cowley of the New York Times and Deborah Curry, a nurse in McDonough, Georgia, who had her license stripped for a time because of student loan debt. So, Stacey, the problem of rising tuitions, rising debt, it seems to me, is only getting worse. We're talking about over $1 trillion in debt here. Isn't this a problem that is crying out for a federal fix?
It's certainly been described as a generational crisis. I mean, for students who are coming out of school now, this is something that haunts them for decades in many cases. And one stab that we did see at sort of a real fix on this is that for federal loans a few years ago, they adjusted the terms and made all of them eligible for income-based repayment options. So the idea there was to offer students a way of capping their payments at something that was by default affordable. It's generally about 10% of your income. Mm-hmm. So for anyone who's got federal loans, there is at least that option out there to explore. But one of the problems is for people who have private loans, those aren't subject to those same protections. So those are often where you see people really falling behind and, you know, drowning in this debt that they have very little hope of repaying if their income isn't high enough to do it.
Deborah, how are you going to—you're not going to be able to pay what you owe here. This is over $100,000. How are you going to ever get out from under that mountain of debt?
Well, excuse me, but one of the problems is the interest. They just keep piling on interest, and no matter how much you pay, it's like you can never catch up or— you know, the debt gets lowered because it's so much interest. I recently consolidated my loans. And even still, with consolidation, it's a $1,300 a month payment.
$1,300 a month payment?
Yes.
So, Stacey, what about that? I mean, you hear Deborah here. She's talking about, yes, there's the principal, but it's the interest that's really hurting her.
Yeah, and that's something we hear commonly as well, is interest rates on federal loans tend to be lower than, you know, interest rates on things like credit cards and things like that. But on the private loans, you can, again, get some really eye-popping interest rates. And even on those federal loans, you know, the interest really adds up. That's often something that we hear, that people make payments that are barely covering any principal. So it really stretches things out for quite a long time.
So, Stacey, I heard a lot of, well, I wouldn't say a lot. I heard some conversation about taking on this problem during the 2016 presidential campaign, but I haven't heard much about it since. Is anyone out there leading the fight to do something about this issue?
Well, it was certainly a talking point for a lot of Democratic candidates during the campaign. On the current DOE, DeVos, there's been very little talk about doing anything to relieve debt burdens. There's been actually some movement in the other direction to kind of scale back some of the forgiveness programs that are out there for students that make payments on their loans for quite a number of years. So, yeah, it doesn't seem like there's anything necessarily forthcoming from Washington on this front.
Deborah, are any of your children going to college, in college now? Are they taking on student loan debt? Are you worried about them?
Well, I have one son that's in college now. And yes, he's taking on some student loan debt. And it's concerning for everybody.
What's your advice to him?
To get a job and make sure that you have a repayment plan and pay your student loans.
Right, right. You know, Stacey, look, for many, the debt from the thing that is supposed to propel you to a better life, we're talking about a degree, is making it next to impossible, you know, for many people to acquire that dream, right? To buy a house, to open a business, to start a family, once they have that thing, a degree, right?
There's been some statistics coming out from various economic groups. You know, some state federal reserves have looked into this. And yeah, they have generally found some signs that things like household formation have been delayed for this generation because of the debts they're carrying from those college degrees.
Yeah. And is there any hard evidence that you've seen to suggest that, you know, this combination of rising tuition cost and debt are together putting higher education out of the reach of more people?
Well, I think it's clearly the rising tuition cost has been a huge factor. I mean, when you look at the $1.4 trillion that's currently owed in student loans, that has about quadrupled in the last 15 years. And that's pretty directly attributable to the rising costs behind it. So,
well, you mentioned that there are a number of states, first of all, that have these statutes, but some that have pulled them off the books. Do we know why?
Yeah, well, the most recent one was California. One interesting thing about these statutes is that in some states, they're very broad. Georgia's one of them. In Georgia, they can come after any professional license. In other states, the laws were written very narrowly, and they can only go after certain types of licenses. California was one of those. They could only go after certain types of medical and healthcare licenses. And again, there was a real bipartisan push. People decided this was not a law that made sense. And as of January 1st, it's gone. So they're one of the latest states to get rid of it. One of the states that's kind of gone in the opposite direction was South Dakota, just enacted this a couple years ago. They decided to crack down on debts owed to the state for unpaid bills at state universities, and they can now take your driver's license if you don't pay those. So mostly we've seen states moving in the direction of getting rid of these laws, but a few have started deciding this is a good idea and they'd like to expand it.
Yeah. Deborah, I'm wondering what your closing thoughts on this are. I mean, a college degree, advanced training in a craft is supposed to be your path, right, to the middle class.
Right.
Has it worked out for you?
Well, I mean, it's working, but it's very difficult. Financial survival is very difficult when you have, you know, so much money out there to pay and interest is just piling up on it. And, you know, you can't catch up.
Right. Deborah, thank you. Thanks for being here. Thanks for your time.
Thank you for having me.
And Stacey Cowley of The New York Times. Stacey, thank you.
Thank you.